Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Hella Rookie Podcast. My name is Chris Lawless. I'm the host of this show. Today, we're going to be talking the FanDuel and DraftKings NBA opening night slate. Just published an article on HellaRookie.com. If you guys haven't checked it out, we just revamped it for about the 20th time. We've got about 30 new articles that have already been published. We are publishing 2 to 3 a day, and that includes both some of the season-long stuff for NBA, NFL, and college football, as well as pretty much an article for every NBA and NFL and college football slate on FanDuel, DraftKings, Yahoo. And then we do some stuff with obviously the draft app, as you can see if you're watching this video, and Monkey Knife Fight. So lots of good stuff over at HellaRookie.com. You can subscribe. We'll send you one email each week with our NFL and college football picks and things like that in it. So very useful stuff over there at HellaRookie.com. Okay, so I just wrote this article yesterday for opening night, which is tonight, Tuesday. And for those of you that aren't subscribers moving forward, we will publish a daily podcast. Should be somewhere between 20 minutes to an hour that covers everything that's happening that day. And then we'll kind of, you know, look forward to the week that it will be as far as the NFL goes in each of them. So, you know, tomorrow we're going to talk matchups. And then on Thursday, we'll lock in our picks for the week and go ahead and build some lineups for the Thursday night single game slate on FanDuel and DraftKings. And then on Friday, we will get everything tied up and ready for the weekend. And then in all of those podcasts, we will cover the NBA in the NBA slates and talk DFS lineups for each of those nights as well. So subscribe wherever you're finding us, Apple, Google, YouTube, on the website, whatever. Make sure you subscribe so you get these things or the notifications when we publish new podcasts. So, okay. As far as this first opening night slate goes on FanDuel and DraftKings, for me, the top play, and if you go to our article, which I'll link in the description of this video, we've got a poll there where you can kind of share your opinion as far as who the top play is, who the top value play, things like that. But I'm going to go ahead and we'll just build a, let's do FanDuel, since it looks a little bit better for those of you that are watching. We'll go ahead and build a FanDuel lineup where we break down the slate. One of the things that I mentioned in the article, an approach that I think is a decent one to take with this slate, is just to kind of try and focus on the things that you do know. There's plenty of things we don't know. You know, the New Orleans backcourt rotation is going to be interesting. They've got, you know, five or six guys there between Lonzo Ball and let's just go through it really quickly, I guess. Lonzo Ball, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, J.J. Redick, Josh Hart, Etwan Moore. There's a pretty, you know, even Brandon Ingram could see some time at the three. So there's, and obviously Jrue Holiday. There's a pretty big group of players there that are going to get minutes on the perimeter for the Pelicans. So, you know, I'm not sure how it's going to break down aside from Jrue Holiday having, you know, probably really high usage and, you know, probably 36, 38 minutes. I think he's a 33 minute per game guy last season. I would expect with Zion out, no AD, and all this, you know, all the offseason changes that Jrue Holiday kind of sees a little bit of an uptick in minutes, at least at the start of this season. But yeah, as far as the New Orleans backcourt goes, I think we kind of have to ignore it in this one. It's not a particularly great matchup. I love the Raptors in this game. They have the highest total in this two game slate. I'm not going to have any shares really of the New Orleans backcourt. Same can be said with the Lakers backcourt. I think this offense is going to run primarily through AD and LeBron. Particularly, I think you could see AD with a usage rate of 30 plus in this offense. We saw it this preseason. You know, he had that, I think his debut for the Lakers may have even been where he had, you know, in about a half of play, he had 8 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists. I think that's kind of going to be what we see, is that, you know, they throw it to AD on the high block and kind of run sets off of him. So I'm going to start my lineups. Let's just start there. I'm going to have AD in on both FanDuel and DraftKings, $12,100 on FanDuel, $10,200 on DraftKings, the highest priced player in both slates. Love AD. And then let's just go ahead and knock out my favorite value pick, because that's the second half of this poll up on our website. In the options on the website, OG Anunoby, Norman Powell, Nicolo Melli, and Quinn Cook. All four really good choices, particularly if Rajon Rondo's out. You know, Quinn Cook's going to be starting on a Lakers team that obviously has a bunch of weapons around him, some shooters with KCP and Danny Green, along with obviously LeBron James and AD, a couple guys you can just throw it to and pick up a lazy assist. Norman Powell's obviously going to see a bump in minutes, I would guess probably in the high 20s for him this season, with Danny Green moving to the Lakers and obviously Kawhi Leonard moving to the Clippers. For him, though, the issue is that the production is so reliant upon points, because he hasn't historically given you much in terms of assists, rebounds, steals, blocks, anything like that, that he wouldn't be my top choice. I'm going to go polar opposite. OG Anunoby can reach value without scoring a single point, particularly when he's underpriced the way he is right now in FanDuel and DraftKings. I think he's going to get 30-plus minutes in this game. New Orleans is probably going to miss a decent amount of shots, giving Anunoby chances to score points both on the defensive glass and in transition with some buckets. So, and then the fourth option is Nicolo Melli. I think when you look at the front court for the Pelicans with Zion out, he's kind of the guy that's flying a little bit under the radar. 28-year-old rookie, really shoots the ball well. He's going to be, making his first appearance in the NBA on the road against the reigning champions on a night where they get their rings, and there's probably going to be nerves. So who knows if he's going to knock down shots tonight or not. So he comes with a decent amount of risk, but he is the minimum salary on both FanDuel and DraftKings. From what I've read, he's going to play a decent amount of minutes here. You'd expect to see Jackson Hayes play a bunch of minutes, but it sounds like Melli could see a decent amount of time for the Pelicans, who may need some scoring help to go along with Ingram and Holiday here. So my favorite play is by far OG Anunoby. I love playing guys like him that don't need the ball to reach value in fantasy. So I'm going to go ahead and lock him into this lineup as well. I believe he only has small forward eligibility on FanDuel. So OG Anunoby. Okay, and then looking at the point guard position, my favorite play on FanDuel is Patrick Beverley at 5,100. Obviously finished the season on a tear. There's a couple of things that go into this. You know, if Rajon Rondo's out and Alex Caruso's out, I think you have to give Quinn Cook a look as a decent value option. $3,300 on DraftKings. He's $3,500, which is the minimum on FanDuel, so he'd be worth a look. And then the other guy I'm going to play in my lineup might end up being a little Raptors heavy here, but again, they do have the highest team implied total. And I think realistically, there's only seven Raptors players, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson is going to be out for this one. So you're really only looking at seven guys in terms of having any real fantasy value here for the Raptors. So you can't go too heavy on these guys, and they're each going to see a decent amount or decent bump in usage with Kawhi Leonard out. As far as who benefits the most from Kawhi being out, I think most people expect it to be Pascal Siakam, and I think statistically it may very well be. I think fantasy-wise it's going to be Kyle Lowry. He's going to have the ball in his hands a lot more than he did last season. Pascal's not a guy that you can really run your offense through. I think Pascal could, bump his scoring average up from 17 to, say, low 20s, 21, 22, 23, somewhere in there. And he may even get a little bump in minutes. So you could see a bump across the board for him. But overall, in terms of usage, I would say the offense is still going to run through Kyle Lowry. You're still probably going to have the ball in Marc Gasol's hands a lot more this season than he did last year. And those would be the two guys that I would say in terms of usage. In terms of minutes, everybody's going to get a bump in the backcourt just because Danny Green's gone and Kawhi Leonard's gone. You're talking about 60 plus minutes per game that are available there for Lowry, Paul, Van Vliet, and OG Anunoby. OG's going to take half of them. He's going to get 30 minutes per game. Extremely good defender, good rebounder. He scores it a little. Certainly isn't prolific. Doesn't need the ball in his hands to score. He'll score in transition. Steals, blocks, everything. He just fills up a stat sheet. So I like OG, obviously, in this one. Okay, moving to shooting guard. Just, you know, 8,700 for Jrue Holiday. As I mentioned, there's a lot of guys there. He only played 33 minutes per game, but he still averaged 43 FanDuel points per game. Granted, that didn't come against Toronto, who's a little bit stingier on defense under Nick Nurse. I think he's an okay play. I don't, you know, he's not somebody I'm, you know, jumping out of my seat to start. I'd probably prefer Lou Williams, who's priced at 5x his current value on both sites. There is going to be a little bit of an adjustment for Lou, you know, having two guys there with him, only one for this opening slate tonight. Only going to have to share the ball really with Kawhi here. And then, you know, we only expect Kawhi to play, you know, 33, 35 minutes. I know he's not on a minutes restriction, but that doesn't mean that he's going to play 40 plus minutes. So, you know, maybe Kawhi does play 38. I think that still means Lou's going to be on the court for at least 10 minutes without Kawhi out there. And to be honest, you know, there weren't a lot of options aside from Lou in this offense with the second unit. So if he gets minutes with Kawhi, I think it just creates more space and more opportunities for Lou to operate. So I do like Lou Williams. FanDuel, he's priced like, I think just, yeah, he's priced just under, or I'm sorry, just, yeah, just over 5x value on FanDuel. Again, same thing, DraftKings priced just over 5x on DraftKings. He averaged 33 DraftKings points per game last season. He's 6,500, 32 on FanDuel, he's 6,200. So the price is right. The matchup is, nothing to get too excited about, although this is going to be the Lakers group's first game together. But he is going to see some Avery Bradley. He's going to see some Danny Green. He's going to see some KCP. So, a few guys that can really defend on the perimeter. But you know, Lou Williams is a guy that I don't think any one player is going to shut him down. You kind of have to throw, you know, waves of defenders at him, just cause he's so hard to deal with, on the perimeter. So like Lou Williams, I'm going to jump down to the, power forward position just for a second. We already talked about Melly. He is the minimum salary on FanDuel at 3,500. Certainly comes with a bit of risk, and I kind of led this podcast off by saying I think we should focus on the things we do know. So, you know, in terms of this lineup that I'm building, which you can see if you're watching, if you're not watching, we'll run through it at the end. I think it would be dependent on what sort of contest you're entering. For me, at least, when, you know, we're in these early season slates, I tend to focus on double ups, 50-50s, head-to-heads, and single entry tournament, where the scoring comes down a little bit and it, you know, it takes kind of those lucky dart throws out of it a little more, than on the multi-entry tournaments. So I'm not going to have a ton of shares in Melly. I think I have them in one lineup, something like that, for this slate. As far as who the other power forward I'd be looking at, Serge Ibaka, I think the minute split with him and Gasol is going to be what it was last year. I think you're probably looking at, you know, Gasol playing 26, 28, maybe 30 minutes per game, and then Ibaka picking up whatever is left over. Maybe with Rondae Hollis-Jefferson out for this one, you see Serge get a little extended run at the four. But for the most part, I'm not sure, you know, until I see it, you know, again, he's another guy that averaged 5X his current salary, but until I see it, for the Raptors this regular season, I'm going to lean towards Gasol over Serge just cause he's a starter. He's got more usage than Serge and he's getting more minutes than Serge. So let's go ahead and in the case of this, just because the power forward position is so thin, Jamichael Green does nothing with his playing time. He'll probably get a decent amount of minutes tonight, but I'm not going to have him in his ridiculously low ceiling in any of my lineups. Jackson Hayes, we kind of mentioned him earlier as one of the guys that is in contention to get some playing time at the power forward position. He's an exciting prospect. He's one of those guys that, you know, maybe he only plays 18 minutes. He could put up 18 DraftKings points in 18 minutes. He's explosive of an athlete. He's going to give you blocks and rebounds and transition points and you know, effort points on the offensive end. But I'm actually going to roll with Nicolo Melli, I guess, just given how thin the power forward position is in this one. I'm going to take a shot on the shooter. Hope that he gets some minutes. Hope that being a 28-year-old rookie makes him a better choice than, you know, a 20-year-old rookie like Jackson Hayes. Actually, Jackson might be 19. He played 1 year. So Niccolò Melli, I'm penciling him in at power forward. Moving to the center position, for me, they're, you know, all five guys are in play, and by that I mean Zubac at 4,500, Dwight Howard at 5,100, JaVale McGee at 5,600, Mark Gasol at 6,500. I said five, it's six, isn't it? Derek Favors at 6,700 and Montrezl Harrell at 7,300. So the way I look at the reason I'm playing Gasol over Favors is just that individual matchup, right? Like I love Favors' upside as a, let's say you're, you know, we're doing a season long draft. I would probably take Favors over Gasol. But when the two of them face each other, I'd rather have the Gasol into that matchup just because Gasol's so good on defense. And Gasol has guaranteed usage in this offense. I think he's going to have the ball in his hands a bunch. And then looking at the other game, the Lakers and the Clippers, 7,300 for Montrezl Harrell is a bit rich. I would rather have Vika Zubac. I'd rather take it, you know, kind of throw a dart at him at 4,500. He averaged over 20 FanDuel points per game once he came over from the Lakers to the Clippers. So he's one of those guys available in the slate that averages over 5x his salary. And looking at the matchup, the Lakers, it was a top five matchup for opposing centers. They bring in Dwight Howard, certainly doesn't scare you. You know, maybe historically he was a decent, you know, defensive center. I think Zubac could find some success against him and McGee. As far as the two Lakers guys go, I think you're pretty much looking at a mirror image to what you're seeing in Toronto, where once we get into the season, it's kind of going to be McGee's minutes plus Howard's minutes equals 48, or, you know, somewhere under 48. You're not going to see the two guys ever on the floor together. Potentially AD could play some five if they wanted to go small. I don't see it in terms of this first slate. I don't, you know, I'd want to see the minute distribution between the two and how many minutes AD does end up playing at the five before I you know, recommend starting either of these guys. To me, it's pretty simple. I think Gasol is going to play 30 minutes, and if he plays 30 minutes, I think he's going to get, you know, probably 35 plus points in a pretty favorable matchup against Derek Favors at home in his first game without Kawhi Leonard. So I like Gasol for those that are trying to keep count at home. That is 1, 2, 3 Toronto players in my lineup, and my guess is the majority of you out there are going to pull the string on the guy I'm going to give next. And to be honest, I don't think you have to on FanDuel. Pascal Siakam, $8,000. I think his floor is probably 5x 40 FanDuel points, and I'm not sure how high he can go just because he's not a prolific scorer and he's not going to give you a ton of in terms of assists. He averaged 3 assists a game last year, 7 rebounds. I don't think it's going to jump up to a double-double. I don't think he's going to jump up 25 points per game. So I think you're probably looking at low 40s in terms of fantasy production for Pascal Siakam this year, which puts him right in that 5x range. But when you look at Kawhi Leonard, I don't think you can expect him to go over 60 points this opener. I don't know how many minutes Doc is going to let him play. He's not on a minutes restriction, but that doesn't mean he's going to play, you know, 45 minutes in the game. I kind of mentioned it earlier, you know, LeBron at 11-4, I think he'll somewhat take a backseat to AD and AD's debut. I think the offense is going to run through AD tonight, and I prefer the matchup for Anthony Davis against the Clippers front court, which was, I believe, the second most favorable matchup for opposing bigs last season. So, you're really looking at, you know, if you're paying up at the small forward position, in my opinion, I'm either going to have a share of Kawhi Leonard in his debut, or I'm going to grab Siakam and hope that he kind of goes ham in his first game without Kawhi Leonard in Toronto. So let's just go ahead. I'm going to pencil in the cheaper option with Siakam, albeit, you know, that gives me 4 players for Toronto now. And we'll just take a look at the salary. So that leaves me 6,700. And this is again where salary management comes into play. I already said I don't really want shares of New Orleans in the Lakers backcourt. I don't feel good enough about saying, you know, Josh Hart is going to get up X amount of playing time for the Pelicans, and he's certainly a guy that can, you know, stuff the box sheet if he's in, but we don't know how many minutes he's going to play. We don't know how many minutes any of these Pelicans players for that matter, Nikhil Alexander Walker, JJ Redick, you know, how are the minutes going to be distributed? How many minutes does Brandon Ingram play at the three and allowing Niccolo Melli to play the four, or, you know, someone else to play the four for the Pelicans and opening up additional perimeter minutes? I don't know. You know, we just don't know the answers to that yet. So we're focusing on what we do know. It's kind of going to lead us to, we either need to pay up and get Jrue Holiday in the lineup or go cheap. And obviously the best cheap option at shooting guard on both FanDuel and DraftKings is Norman Powell. So if I'm going to do Norman Powell at 3,900, that lets me go back to Siakam, you know, get rid of one of those Raptors players. And at 10,800, I can pay up for Kawhi Leonard. I still have $900 left on the board. But I feel a lot better about leaving 900 on the board than you know, what we were looking at before. So that would put my FanDuel lineup at Beverly, Lowry, Lou Williams, Norman Powell, OG Anunoby, Kawhi Leonard, Anthony Davis, Niccolo Melli, and Marc Gasol. I know Siakam is going to be a popular play tonight, and I'm fine with that. Like I said, I think, you know, he's in the 5X, 6X range for $8,000 salary. It's about what you can hope for. You know, I wouldn't expect Kawhi to be too much higher than that. You know, if he hits 70, I would be frankly shocked. He did it, you know, throughout the playoffs last year, but he really didn't do it in the regular season for Toronto. And that was really his best season as a pro. So there's not a ton of, you know, track record there to think that Kawhi is going to go, you know, over 6X. So I'm fine with Pascal Siakam if you want to go there and go elsewhere with the point guard position, or maybe you want to pay up for Jrue Holiday, who should have high usage in the game with the higher total in the New Orleans. In fact, we can do that really quick just to see how that look. If you don't like the matchup with Lou Williams, it's going to be much tougher than it was for Lou last year. You know, swap him out, go Jrue Holiday, and then you can bump Kawhi down to Pascal Siakam. And in this case, now I've got Kyle Lowry, Norman Powell, OG Anunoby, Pascal Siakam, and Marc Gasol. But again, with the Toronto Raptors, you know, if we pull up the guys that are going to play tonight, I think it's only seven deep. You know, you go through Serge Ibaka, Fred VanVleet, OG Anunoby. You've got Rondae Hollis-Jefferson out. I'm not sure how many minutes they're going to trust Stanley Johnson with. And then, you know, obviously Patrick McCaw out. The only other guy I think that was in the discussion to even see playing time, I don't think Campaign is in the rotation right now. It was, I believe, one of the rookies, Terrence Davis maybe or something. So I think it's those seven guys that you have to focus or kind of hone in on for Toronto. So if you're targeting five of those seven, I think you're fine. It's a little bit Toronto heavy, but they do have the highest team implied total for this slate. So, okay, so that's it for the NBA. Turning the attention back to the NFL momentarily, one of the things I just wanted to touch on here, for those of you in season-long leagues, I've got a rest of season strength of schedule from Fantasy Pros pulled up. If you're watching in the video, if you're not watching, then that's what we're looking at. This is the time of the year that I like to kind of go through the rest of season strength of schedule, and you can even do it on a player-by-player basis and start to identify some targets for trades. I've proposed trades in every single one of my fantasy leagues this morning for Le'Veon Bell. Just trying to get shares of, you know, the schedule that's upcoming for him. So they just played New England. They're playing at Jacksonville. Then they're at Miami, home against the Giants, at Washington, home against the Raiders, at Cincinnati, home against Miami. I think he's going to end that stretch of games as the number one running back over that stretch of games, or certainly in the top five. I mean, you look at the matchups, it goes the ninth best matchup for running backs to the fourth, third, eighth, 22nd against Oakland, which, you know, call it what you want to call it. I think the Jets will score points at home against Oakland, and obviously Bell will have a share in that. The first, the fourth. So that's kind of that stretch of games coming up for Lev Bell. He's a guy that I would certainly be targeting in trades right now. If you've got a guy that maybe is on the bottom half of this, you know, David Johnson or somebody like that, you think you could move create some kind of package for Le'Veon Bell. He's a guy that I'm targeting right now. And then at wide receiver, I picked Corey Davis up, you know, kind of doing this last week. I picked Corey Davis up in a couple of leagues. Obviously, that paid off immediately. I think he's got flex value moving forward. The number one schedule for number one wide receivers. You know, I've said it all season about Corey. You know, I watched a lot of Titans training camp just trying to get an idea of, you know, what that offense was going to look like this season. And Corey Davis is a legitimate number one wide receiver in the NFL. Like he is a nightmare to cover. He just needed a little bit of help from the quarterback position. It looks like Tannehill is at least going to give them a temporary boost. You know, who knows, maybe Tannehill continues to get comfortable in the system and him and Davis just continue to put up bigger and bigger numbers. And obviously there's a good chance for that given the schedule that they have moving forward. If we just pull up really quickly, Corey's schedule. So you've got Tampa Bay this week, obviously favorable matchup. Then at Carolina, home against Kansas City, home against Jacksonville, at Indianapolis, home or at Oakland, home against Houston, home against New Orleans, at Houston. So ridiculously favorable schedule going or as you close out the season for Corey Davis. I think he's got flex appeal most weeks moving forward. As far as trade targets, I'm sorry. And Robbie Anderson's another guy. You know, going back to Darnold coming back. I looked at the Jets schedule. Obviously, we just kind of went through it. Extremely favorable schedule for Robbie Anderson. He's another guy that I think is an underrated, legitimate number one wide receiver. He can run a complete route tree. Obviously, has the speed to get behind the defense, but also, you know, going back to his days at Temple with Jahad Thomas, you know, he was more of a possession receiver there at Temple. He didn't have a ton of catches or a ton of big plays. You know, so Robbie Anderson's a guy I would be targeting right now with the number three most favorable wide receiver schedule. DJ Chark is a guy that I would propose trades for. DD Westbrook, I think his, you know, he still leads the team. DD still leads the team in targets. You know, his target share, his snap count, everything has been DD Westbrook. In that John DeFilippo offense is built around getting the ball to the slot receiver. The thing that they've done really well is they moved DJ Chark into the slot for about a third of his snaps, which has allowed him to get, you know, more targets in the DeFilippo system. But I'd have shares of Chark and Westbrook moving forward. Chark's the guy I would target just because, you know, his insane touchdown production, although he has produced those touchdowns without being the leading red zone target. I think DD is still the leading red zone target for the Jags. So maybe there's a little bit of touchdown regression coming for Chark and a little room for DD to get a couple touchdowns down the stretch here. So I'd be looking at both of those guys. In terms of guys to trade for, TY, you know, maybe it's difficult given the fact that he's scored in every game except for one that he's been active in. TY would be a guy, fit the easiest receiver schedule. Tyler Lockett, you know, the thing you have to like about Tyler Lockett is he's so easy to play. If the Seahawks have a matchup where they're not going to be able to just run the hell out of the ball, then Russell Wilson's going to throw it and Tyler Lockett's going to be a top 10 fantasy wide receiver. So it's easy to predict or, you know, project Lockett's production. And I wouldn't even feel too guilty about, you know, sitting him if it's a game where, you know, the Seahawks are going to be able to hand the ball to Carson 30 times and, you know, Wilson's not going to, like we saw in week one, Wilson's not going to throw it, you know, 20, 25 times, something like that. But Tyler Lockett's a guy that I would be targeting as well. Obviously, you know, you look at the next few guys, Michael Thomas, Chris Godwin, Julio Jones, it's going to be hard to get shares of them. Maybe you could peel Julio Jones away from, you know, his owner. With the team moving, Mohamed Sanu, you know, just opens up more targets given how many, you know, Sanu's consistently gotten 6 to 10 targets in that system. So probably is a good time to target Julio. Eighth easiest schedule remaining. It's bounced back really quickly to running backs. So David Montgomery is a guy that I would consider. Obviously the Bears know that they need to run the ball better. The problem is with the offensive line. It's, you know, saying you need to target David Montgomery in a trade right now is like saying you need to go target Bro Mixon in a trade. It's just brutal. The offensive line is struggling. The offense as a whole is struggling. But I think David Montgomery, given the system and given the schedule, has more upside than some of the other guys that you probably could get relatively cheap in terms of trade value. Dalvin Cook, the rich get richer, third easiest schedule remaining. As far as what you do with that, you know, if you were asking me right now what to do with that, I would go add Alexander Mattison if he's available in your league. You know, Cook has never played a full season, or I think he did play one full season. But going back to Florida State, he always had these nagging injuries. I think he ended up playing the majority of his college career as well. But, you know, Jimbo about ran the kid into the ground, and he was always on the injury report with Florida State. There's a chance he could pick up a nick and miss a couple games here, and I think Alexander Mattison would vault into a top 12, you know, an RB into the RB1 discussion. So I'd look at adding Mattison. Given the favorable strength of schedule, it's not quite like, you know, you're going and stealing you know, Latavius Murray or you know, Rashad Penny or someone like that for a guy that really doesn't have a favorable schedule against the run to close out the season. Yeah, aside from that, I don't know if there's any other players that are really worth targeting. Melvin Gordon and Austin Eckler have favorable schedules going out, but they, you know, that's a nightmare situation. You know, the running game's really tanked since Gordon came back there. I'm not sure there's much you can do with that. Miles Sanders might be a guy you can get on the cheap, given Jordan Howard's production. If the Eagles are still struggling moving forward, maybe they turn to Sanders, who's been a much more consistent source for big plays than Howard, if they think they need to chase the big plays. And then obviously Ty Johnson's going to be a popular guy in the waiver wire. Detroit has the 13th easiest schedule versus the run going out. It looks like Kerryon's week to week. This guy that tends to be banged up. With Kerryon out, you know, they're down to Ty Johnson and JD McKissick. They don't really have another running back unless they go and add someone and decide he's, you know, worth playing right away. To me, the Kerryon injury just means it's going to be a lot of Matt Stafford moving forward. And that's a guy that I would consider going and looking at. Detroit has they're at number 21 schedule for quarterbacks, but you know, the schedule has been fairly tough to start the season as well. So Stafford is a guy I would look to add if you can find a way to work him into any of these trades you're looking at. So, okay. So that's just a look at the kind of trade value rather than waiver wire. For me this season, you look at some of these guys have been going all in on the waiver wire. The real value is when someone does that is, you know, taking a look at who they drop. That's how I got Corey Davis. That's how I got Robbie Anderson. The leagues where I have DJ Shark, I'm sorry, not DJ Shark, but Dede Westbrook, you know, his owners gave up on him really. I think there's more value in looking. I mean, there's certainly value in hitting the waiver wire, but for me, I'm looking at streaming quarterbacks, streaming tight ends, streaming defenses on the waiver wire, and then, you know, taking a look at what other guys are dropping and seeing if there's any value there. On, you know, Wednesday or Tuesday or Thursday or however your league does it. So, okay, that's going to do it for this episode. Again, check back tomorrow. Another episode coming tomorrow. We'll cover the NBA slate tomorrow. We're going to break down some of the wide receiver cornerback matchups, running back matchups, identify which matchups we're targeting in week 8 NFL contests. Put together some NBA lineups again tomorrow, and then on Thursday, we're going to go ahead and lock in our targets for the week for the NFL, DraftKings, FanDuel. We're going to build our Thursday night NFL lineups. And then on Friday is college football for those of you that do college football on either FanDuel or DraftKings. So subscribe. We're on YouTube, Google Play Store, the Apple Store. You can subscribe at HelloRookie.com. Thank you for watching. We'll see you next time.